we have to get on our own resources in America. If we do, we can cut out 60% of OPEC oil.
Oil, natural gas, wind, water, solar, nuclear. Industries of energy. Energy.
We've got fantastic opportunities to use new technologies to secure the American people and at the same time be better stewards of the environment.
You have questions. We have answers.
Listen carefully.
You can't really be against hydrofracking and say you're an environmentalist because immediately the default options are fuels that are much less clean.
For the next hour, Sean Wilson and Butch Black explore the energy industry with news and interviews from around the corner and around the globe.
Nuclear is one of the directions that we should innovate in.
The Exploring Energy Show begins now.
And a very, very good Monday morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. President's Day. Yeah, it's a holiday for some. It's a not for others. That's how it works. Anyway, glad to have you tuned in here this morning. And just so you know, because of President's Day, Elk City Meals on Wheels is closed. No Meals on Wheels today. They'll be back tomorrow from 11 to 1. And it's going to have some chicken strips going on tomorrow. So we'll talk about that. But again, Elk City Meals on Wheels not open today because of the state holiday, or the federal holiday. We will have the Republican candidates for Oklahoma State Superintendent of Schools, a question and answer forum. That's going to be tonight, presented by the Western Oklahoma Patriots. It's Ryan Walters and Dr. John Cox tonight at 6 o'clock. I will moderate the event. Again, it's going to be at the Elk City Civic Center, Elk City Convention Center. You can go to Western Oklahoma Patriots Facebook page or the KUCO Facebook page to watch a live stream of that event. But we are going to be at the Elk City Convention Center tonight, 6 o'clock, Republican candidates for Oklahoma State Superintendent of Schools. Ryan Walters and Dr. John Cox will be here, thanks to the Western Oklahoma Patriots, to help present that. Okay, get right at it. Well, Butch Black, he's still sitting on his little old gas plant. So, you know, you just got to understand that he got a day job where he makes his living. And I'd be glad we get him back, but you know what? A man's got to do what a man's got to do. I'll give you the Baker Hughes rig count here on this Monday morning as well. But first, I'll do Butch Black's deal where he tries to give a little bit of good news to start the show. Let's see what we got as far as commodity prices this morning. And that's what I thought, all green. West Texas Intermediate up 60 cents to $91.67 on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Brent Crude Oil on the ICE Futures Exchange, it's up 62 cents to $94.16 a barrel. Telecom Crude Oil in Japan is also up 10 yen per kiloliter. And NYMEX Natural Gas up 36 cents. To $4.79. Of course, on the flip side, RBOB gasoline up 95 to $267.91. Heating oil up $1.10 to $279.25. Gas oil is up 4 to $815.50. So that is also in the green. But of course, when the RBOB gasoline's up, that means gas at the pump is up as well. Okay, get back to the Baker Hughes rig count here on this Monday morning. They're up 10 more drilling rigs this week than a week ago on the Baker Hughes rig count. From 635 a week ago to 645. Give you an idea, last year there was 397. So 248 more rigs drilling than 1 year ago in February. Of those, 12 are offshore, 3 are inland water, 630 of these wells being drilled on land. Again, this is your Baker Hughes rig count on the Monday morning. Of those, 520 are drilling for oil, gas, 124. That's up 6. So more people going after that natural gas, as Butch and I had predicted we would see a climb in that. And then there's one miscellaneous add, one geothermal add that has been, well, that has been added. Of those, 589 drilling horizontally, 25 vertically drilled wells, 31 directionally drilled wells of the 645 wells, active wells on the Baker Hughes rig count here on this Monday morning. Here's your state-by-state variances. Alaska stayed steady at 8. California unchanged at 7 active drilling rigs. Colorado gained 2 from 12 to 14. Louisiana lost 1 from 54 to 53. I'm going to click a different screen here because the independent rig count in Kansas shows that they stayed steady. 39 a week ago, 39 this week. So Kansas stays steady with 39. New Mexico gained 2 from 92 to 94. North Dakota stayed steady, 33 active drilling rigs there. Ohio lost 1 from 12 down to 11. Oklahoma stayed steady at 53. To give you an idea, we had 17 drilling rigs in the state of Oklahoma 1 year ago. Wow. Pennsylvania gained 1 from 24 to 25 active drilling rigs. Texas, the big gainer, 8 from 300 to 308 in Texas. 12 rigs in Utah as it was a week ago. West Virginia also unchanged at 11, and Wyoming lost 1 from 15 down to 14. The big play is still the Permian. 306 down in the Permian. Next nearest basin has 58. That's the Haynesville, 54 in the Eagleford. 36 in the Marcellus, 34 in the Williston, 26 in the Cana Woodford, 11 in the Utica. Everything else in single digits. Granite Wash, 5 active drilling rigs there. Your Baker Hughes rig count on this Monday morning. So glad to be able to give that to you. Again, Butch Black is absent this morning as he is, they're setting a compressor at the gas plant. He's been babysitting. And we've got Dana Murphy slated to join us here in the next segment. So looking forward to visiting with her, even though it seems like a lot of times her call has coincided with a state holiday, even though they're not open today, she has still agreed to be a call-in guest for us. So I will be visiting with Dana Murphy here in a short period of time. And, of course, my old computer is having a little bit of issue with me. Here we go. All right, well, the oil and gas industry's recovery from COVID. Okay, here we go. This comes out of the Enid News and Eagle. A recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. Broad-based recovery is underway regarding the state and the oil and gas industry in Oklahoma. Operators of all sizes are making investments right now, said Brooke Simmons, president of the Petroleum Alliance of Oklahoma, adding that the industry recovery is supported by higher commodity prices after a challenging multi-year readjustment of the shale business model and depressed prices. Simmons said that demand for oil and natural gas is exceeding supply, which drives the higher price and provides Oklahoma the opportunity to participate in that recovery. That's a good thing for the state of Oklahoma from both an employment standpoint and an economic activity standpoint, Simmons said, the president of the Petroleum Alliance of Oklahoma. This does result in higher prices at the pump, though, Simmons said, adding the only way to work through that is continued investment in producing crude oil and natural gas. Over time, we can find that the market will come into balance, he said. When that is, I don't know, but that's generally the path that it's taken. That's the nature of the cycle. But picking back up, in 2020, the price for a barrel of oil dropped to the teens during the early months of the COVID-19 pandemic, even getting down to the negatives. And in late March of last year, the price was in the upper $50 range. Now, according to the United States Energy Information Administration, the EIA, crude oil prices for West Texas Intermediate stood at $91.44. It was Thursday's price. Simmons said the demand for oil and natural gas exceeds supply, which drives the higher price and provides Oklahoma the opportunity to participate in this recovery. So, he said John Donaldson, president of D&J Oil in Enid, said the oil and gas industry is a lot better than the previous 2 years, and in the past year, the price of natural gas has increased. I think the oil and gas is picking back up. COVID-19 is dropping off. Hopefully things will get back to a normal here in the next 6 months, he said. So some of the concerns at the state level, Simmons said, nationally, headwinds to growth and job creation in the oil and gas industry include a squeeze on investment capital and public policies designed to harm U.S. producers but empower OPEC plus competitors. One can look at broad trends and, you know, when it comes to some of these public policy risks, but the current administration has is no fan of Oklahoma and no fan of the crude oil and natural gas industry, of course. Bad public policies on the federal level, Simmons said, can increase the cost of doing business in the oil and gas industry at the state level. Oklahoma is challenged and always competing against peer states that might have more productive and more profitable resources, and Oklahoma has to compete against those investments. According to Baker Hughes, rig count has increased, so that goes right along with this companion story. So that's what they're saying. Of course, we're seeing a lot of people lifting these mask mandates, which were absolutely stupid, in my opinion. But, it made people feel safer, I guess. So there you have it. Anyhow, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with our illustrious chairperson of the Oklahoma Corporation Commission, a very pretty and talented, smart Dana Murphy. We'll continue our coverage here on the Monday morning edition of the Exploring Energy Show in a moment.
Exploring Energy Show with Sean Wilson and Butch Black.
Could you use up to $7,500 to jumpstart your future? The people of Oklahoma Oil and Natural Gas are looking for the next generation of game changers who will find new and more efficient ways to produce the energy that fuels our life. That's why they're providing scholarships to students interested in pursuing a degree in the oil and natural gas industry. They need your energy. If you want to be the future of energy, visit oerb.com/scholarships to apply today.
We are no longer taking 2 to 3 years to get teeth straightened. We have several cases that range anywhere from 3 to 8 months. Fast braces are amazing. It's a patented wire system with advanced brackets that help to move and rotate the teeth at the same time. They are very fast. Traditional braces go through a different series of wires. Fast braces is all one wire. We had a particular patient, and he was done in 3 months. Mom was ecstatic. My name is Jamie Cameron, and I am a dentist in Weatherford at 129 North Bradley, a block north of Brahms.
Also at Liberty Dental in Carnegie on Main Street, right next to the movie theater.
JamieCameronDDS.com. You can also visit us on our Facebook page, JamieCameronDDS. Where we treat you like family and do life-changing dentistry.
What do these companies want from you?
When they call you, they want you to answer the phone. And whether it's Sunday, Saturday, or Monday, they also want customer service. Do what you say you're going to do. I mean, because when they're in a bind, they're in a bind. You want that company to think of you first. Oh, we need this. Well, call Brock. You call me. We'll get it taken care of. You needed a hose like yesterday. We will stop what we're doing. And if we got to go to our Oklahoma City shop and get it, we'll do that. And I've done that for a lot of my customers. If they call me, they're expecting me to get whatever task done. To a farmer, a tractor, combine, gets him up and running. He's back in the field, makes some money. Guy in the oil field, their piece of equipment's running again. That makes some money. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's. Or call me at 580-821-4413, 821-4413.
Sean Wilson and Butch Black with the Exploring Energy Show return now.
And we have returned. Well, I have returned. Butch, again, we'll be back tomorrow is the game plan. But sustaining Oklahoma's energy resources, that is a part of the OERB. You heard about their, just a moment ago. About the scholarships that they have operating. Great education opportunity here at the www.soarok.com. They got the plunger lift class coming up February the 24th. That's just in a couple days. So by the 23rd at 5 p.m., you need to be registered for that. Go to www.soarok.com, S-O-E-R-O-K.com, or you can download the free Soar Connect app. You'll have a quick and easy access to Soar's Leash Pumper's Handbook, searchable filters and links. Plus, it's a native app. It's easy to access it in remote areas without Wi-Fi or internet. For Android or iOS, ability to submit questions, seeking advice from other industry professionals, it's all Soar Connect app. Plus, you'll know every time there's an upcoming educational opportunity at Soar. Go to www.soarok.com. And also, Still looking for drivers at Camrock. And if you want to get home, be home at night, earn up to $20 to $25 an hour, depending on your experience, you got to have a Class A CDL, be able to pass a drug test, have enough experience, kind of know what's going on. Besides very good pay, you get insurance, health, dental, vision, and you get to go home at night. Apply in person at Camrock, 2111 South Main Street in Elk City, next to Fred's Steakhouse. They deliver filter and bulk fluids to farmers, ranchers, oil field, and industrial. It's Camrock, looking for drivers. Home at night. Apply in person. Camrock, 2111 South Main Street in Elk City. Now, as we do on the third Monday of every month, which always seems to be a federal holiday, we are going to visit and smarten up the show with Dana Murphy, chairwoman of the Oklahoma Corporation Commission. How are you doing this morning, Dana?
Hey, well, I want you to know I was listening to that advertising about Camrock. That sounded pretty good. The only problem is I don't have my CDL. Being home at night and insurance and certain hours, boy, that sounds like a good job.
I guarantee it. That's a lot of people would like to be home at night, no doubt about it. And like you said, $20, $25 an hour, that's not chicken scratching. That's pretty good pay. And, you know, we're seeing the patch come back, and there's a lot of people. Of course, it's never soon enough for those that are eager, you know. But,
right.
But you know, slow and steady wins the race. And through the Baker Hughes rig count with the permits to drill, we're seeing a steady increase not only from the independents but also some of the majors.
Right. I mean, I was just looking at the last couple of weeks of intents to drill, it wasn't so long ago, you know, we were talking about single digits, but really, it's been double digits, and now we're up in the, I would say in the last month or so, probably averaging right around 25 a week is what I would say, probably.
Wow.
Pretty close to that, maybe a little bit more. And then I think the other thing that's going to be a challenge is, you know, I think we learned during COVID when oil went to that negative price, mm-hmm. like we thought we'd never see it. And then we've seen during the winter storm where gas prices have just, natural gas went crazy. And now we've got this Russia-Ukraine event that I think we're seeing. I mean, it's really geopolitical on all these commodity prices because it's really hard to anticipate, you know, what will be next. So there's just a lot of things anymore beyond environmental issues, beyond the public, the geopolitical forces. You know, you could go on and on about all these different things impacting, you know, the oil and gas business. I mean, as a farmer and rancher, we always think about that. Oh, my gosh, it's the weather. It's what the government yeah. does. It's what the public does about buying the product. And I think you're really seeing that, you know, more so. It's probably more noticeable just, I think, over the last few years. So I think we've all just become so, you know, with COVID and the different things that have happened, you know, we've all become a lot more reactive, and I think that could be said even really across the world.
I agree with that, and it's changed. It's changed how things happen. It changes the speed of how things happen. It changes the outcome. But, you know, I always look back at what Dewey F. Bartlett Jr. said, and that's the unintended consequences. You know, cheaper's not always better. Faster's not always the way to go. You know, right now we're sitting on a precipice of a lot of unknown variables. You know, with the current administration, with, like you said, the geopolitical pressures around the world, just a lot of different things that that are into the mix, Dana. And I know that the Corporation Commission trying to make sense of all that is also, you know, and the other thing that I just like continue to scratch my head about is just the oil and gas is just one aspect of what the Corporation Commission does. You guys do so many other things, but that's just one of the things that fall underneath your all's tutelage.
Right. I mean, if you look this week, you know, we'll have several meetings this week, presuming we're able to go forward with the weather, but the electric vehicle rules are up for adoption by the commissioners. You know, that was based on a statute that was adopted last year. We'll have our Chapter 5 and 10 rules are up. We're in our rulemaking season, so that technical conference will go forward. And it was a very unusual meeting when we actually adopted our notice of proposed rulemaking because I had numerous modifications that I had suggested that I think our staff decided to finally go along with, and the other two commissioners went along with it because we had this problem, and I was working on some statutory language and then some other things, which I won't belabor all the details, but it was just amazing to me how sometimes it's just so much easier to throw up the roadblocks and the obstacles and to say, hey, well, I'm not sure I understand this, but why don't we get together and work it out? I've got to give the industry, both the small and the large producers who met with me last week, you know, I've just got to give them a lot of credit. I've seen them come together on a few more things. They're never going to sing Kumbaya, but I think
right.
they can reach agreement on some things. They have more things in common than they really have that are not, and I think they've seen they can both, you know, it can be a win for both sides. So I'm really pleased with the efforts of both groups, and they were very interested in what I was trying to do, because it wasn't really a commission type of piece of legislation. It was, I saw a problem, it was happening, it was affecting all the commission offices, it was affecting industry. So I came up with this idea of, I think we need to change the statute, and any time you want to do that, you can only imagine what happens. But the long and short of it is, you know, I'm so grateful. I love to work together with people that are more knowledgeable than myself to solve problems. It's probably one of my most favorite things in this job. And every time I get the opportunity to do that, it's just a really good feeling. There's nothing in it personally for me, but it's good for a lot of other people, and I'm so grateful I got to be a part of that. And that bill will be run this week. Hopefully it'll pass out of committee and move forward.
Well, you know, it's the big word back in the, I guess it's probably early 90s, was synergy, you know, where everybody comes together. And like you said, more ideas are better when brought to, in a collaborative effort than by themselves. And then really focusing on the process and taking the people out of it, everybody can attack a process, you know, even, and a lot of people are, you know, affected by the process. If it breaks down, then a lot of people on the, you know, before that are affected, and everybody after that is affected. So being able to get in and come up with probable solutions, you know, you and I have talked about this. Anybody can bring problems to a table. You know, bring probable solutions, even if it isn't that. At least it shows that you understand there's an issue, and maybe there is a possibility of a way to fix it.
Right. I mean, I think it, all these things, I mean, it just takes a lot of energy. I mean, we could even shift over to look at, you know, this orphan well plugging. And you know, the commission has initially identified 17,000 wells that could, excuse me, fit the definition of orphan wells. And then you've got this money that's coming out of the infrastructure bill to help plug wells, give people jobs. Hey, doesn't it all just sound like everything's rosy and it just sounds great? Here's the problem. The problem is we have to be really thoughtful about what wells have been identified, because if they are wells that are on an otherwise producing lease, or they might have reserves behind pipe, I think we always have to be thoughtful about and measured about how we go about things. And then we also have to look to see what some of the requirements are. So why I can think it's a good idea, we really need to be measured and thoughtful about how we go forward on this. And, you know, sometimes people just jump into this like, oh my gosh, we've got this money and now we can get all these wells plugged. And I don't know that I'm so gung-ho about it as I think it's a good thing, but it's how we set the parameters up, how we're going to deal with it. And I've learned as a regulator myself, this is my opinion, my two cents, very rarely do I like to be at the point of the spear. I really like to see what other problems other regulators in other states have, learned from those, and then see if we can do it a little bit better. Because typically in government, I mean, it's different if it's a fire or an earthquake where you need, you know, really measured but quick
right.
responses. In many of these things, it's like you can learn lessons from people who do things. And so I'm always very thoughtful, again, about being the point of the spear being a regulator. And again, that's probably just evolved with inside of me for, over the almost 14 years I've been here.
Well, it's that ALJ background you have, set precedent. You look and you see what other people did, and it's worked in law. Why wouldn't it work in the regulator end of the thing? Dana, we're at the bottom of the hour. Can you stick around? I'd like to talk to you a little bit more, maybe in detail, about the EV situation and some of the other things going on at the commission.
That'd be great.
Fantastic. We're visiting with Chairperson, Oklahoma Corporation Commission, Dana Murphy, here on the Monday morning, third Monday of the month. Thank you so much for being here. We'll be back with more and Ms. Murphy right after this.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
When you're producing a well or bringing a well in order to move fluids around on that job site, they hook up high-pressure flow iron pipe. When they do that, it can go up to pressure as high as 15,000 pounds. So what we do is we take that iron once a year, and we do an annual inspection on it, a visual inspection, a UT inspection, pressure test, and then we band it and hold on to the certifications during that annual period. What I'd like to do is I'd like to offer 50 pieces inspected for free on the first job that you call us out on. That's probably going to be around, depending on the pieces of iron, it's going to be between a $1,500 and $2,000 discount. Safety Flow NDT, just call me, Dustin Nix. My phone number is 580-383-0136, 383-0136. We'll go to work 24/7. You can call me at any time. If you're in a bind, we'll get a crew out there to get you taken care of.
One of the services that we provide is if you're a new customer and you're wanting to get set up in bulk, we will set tanks on your place. We have double-walled Roth brand tanks that have a pneumatic pump on them and a hose reel and a metered nozzle, so that we can set those, and those are ours. We loan them to you to use while you're our customer, and so then when you call and say, hey, I need 200 gallons of this oil, we'll bring it out, fill your tank up, and you're good to go. You just continue using product, saving money, being happy, and life is going on. My name is Sean Estes, and the company I work for is Camarock. Give me a call at 405-301-5803. 405-301-5803. Come see us at Camrock, 2111 South Main in Elk City, right behind Fred's Steakhouse.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
Okay. We are back. And when you call, you're expecting them to get something done. You're talking about American Hose and Supply. Because a busted hose means you're not getting work done. You're not making money. Tractors, combines, oil filled equipment. The largest piece of equipment can be shut down by the smallest pinhole. They'll do whatever it takes to get you something to you. Solve your problem. American Hose and Supply, 580-821-4413. Okay, that's 821-4413. That's American Hose and Supply. We appreciate Brock Cout and all the good folks there. Also, Allegiant Land Services, headquartered in the rural community of Sealing, Oklahoma. They have the knowledge to bridge the gap between company and community. Allegiant Land Services is a leader in energy solutions from project management, acquisition, consulting. Allegiant Land Services has the people and the experience to get the job done right the first time. They're proud to provide their clients with team members equipped with a well-rounded education in the oil and gas industry, as well as wind and solar negotiation. And more importantly, knowing what it's like to be a landowner. Because they're landowners, they're ranchers, they know what's up. Allegiant Land Services and Consulting is an unmatched energy solutions company. They are truly honest, efficient, reliable. Contact them online at AllegiantLand.com, AllegiantLand.com, or call their Sealing, Oklahoma office, 405-883-7007, 405-883-7007. Tell Destiny Weeks and all the good folks at Allegiant Land that we sent you their way. Okay, let's get back here to Dana Murphy, the Oklahoma Corporation Commission chairperson. And Dana, again, we're just so happy to have you, and I appreciate you taking time out on your day off, basically, to visit with us.
I don't know that there is such a thing in this job. it kind of ebbs and wanes, but it just seems like you've always got to be you know, on the alert. You know, we've had some recent larger earthquakes, and so we've taken some actions on directives on those. And I think the thing we have to be thoughtful now is what used to take us weeks and weeks, we now can do much in much shorter time, but we still have to be thoughtful about not being reactive and about being responsive, which kind of goes back to that, you know, comment that we talked about at the beginning. And then it's kind of the same way with the electric vehicle rules. It's being responsive to legislation and really not reactive. I think this is still relatively new in Oklahoma. We can learn from some other states. We can put some good, perhaps some good fundamentals in place and kind of build about that. But it's been really interesting to see that we've had Tesla and all these different companies that you hear about, you know, in California or in other places, participate in the rulemaking. I've listened to all the technical conferences. I've learned so much. It's been a great experience. And I would say fundamentally, what the rules are setting out now is just that, you know, a public charging station isn't considered a public utility because they're not, you know, because you may be able to get electricity for your vehicle. It's not really the resale necessary of electricity because, you know, some motels or some apartment complexes or some shopping malls or different places may have those for the convenience of their customer, but they're really not charging for those. And then we have to have a way to make sure that the consumer is protected, that there's appropriate record keeping, how do we get in contact with people. And so I see it as kind of some of the fundamentals. That's basically what's been covered thus far. And then I think the Chapter 5 rules are proposing a fee for these courts. The jury's still out for me on that. This is still a very kind of a new industry, so to speak. They're going to be paying taxes at the tax commission at some point in time. So I'm mindful that if we get new legislation that requires us to do additional regulatory actions, yes, then I think we need to make sure that we're properly compensated for that to make sure that's appropriate. But right now, it's still a little early for me to know what that should be. And I've let the staff know. I mean, I'm open-minded, but I don't know that I've come down to an agreement of how much a port we should charge. So that'll come up in the Chapter 5 rules. That's not a part of these electric vehicle rules, but I just want to make sure everybody had kind of the true story. Here's the fundamentals of the EV rules, and then any types of fees or anything like that runs through our rules of practice or Chapter 5 rules, and those are just now starting.
You know, and like you said, you got to regulate the measurement, you know, to where are you getting that amount of electricity from that charging station. I guess my deal is, and I'm not anti-electric vehicles by any means, but I'm wondering what percentage of the vehicles in the state of Oklahoma are electric right now, and wonder how many people that have electric vehicles just travel across the country, you know, knowing that it was, you know, it's going to be, you know, the charging stations are going to be few and far between. And you have, did they talk to you any about that?
I couldn't tell you the percentage, but I probably would tell you it wouldn't be surprising to think it's pretty low, or even the number of ports. But I think what's surprising to people to know is there's a lot of infrastructure that's really been built across the entire state of Oklahoma. So that was a little bit surprising to me. And so for me, I just, you know, kind of what you think about today, and you look back in time, like, who thought we'd be drilling, you know, 10, 12,000 foot horizontals as
right.
the regular course of business, you know, even 15 years ago. So I always like to be thoughtful from the lessons that we've learned. Maybe it doesn't seem like there's a lot now. Or the wind is another example. I still remember when it was a baby, and then it became a toddler, and then a teenager. Now it's really, you know, really a full-grown kind of mature industry. And so I think we have to kind of learn lessons from the past. I think it's good to have some framework put in place. And what we think today, Sean, 10 years from now, I mean, it could be totally different, because technology just advances and changes so rapidly. I mean, it's the same way with, you know, the big issue too is broadband rollout.
Oh, man.
I continue to have people ask me about that, especially in rural parts of Oklahoma. It's incredibly important, But you want to make sure when you're taking the money that's been provided for the rollout of broadband, you have good maps from that accurately indicate where there is a need for additional infrastructure built in the state so that you're not overbuilding or not, you know, putting things into places and having costs for that when it really should have been allocated somewhere else. And so, you know, as most of these things involving government money, you and I have talked about this innumerable times, the devil's in the detail.
Yeah, you're right. And like I said, there it's just such an unknown situation. And but, you know, here's the thing. You go to more electric vehicles, where's the electricity going to come from? I mean, you know, right now it's going to have to come from fossil fuels. I mean, there's no way renewable electricity can keep up with the demand, the insatiable demand that the United States has for electricity.
Right, and I think the cold, hard reality, again, you can go back in time to look at this, but we just have to do better with what we have. So some people really have incredibly strong environmental views. Okay, some people have maybe not quite the same viewpoint, but the reality is our state is blessed with some incredible resources, and not just resources of fuel, but resources of people, academic institutions, you know, businesses, just really across the state, and such a can-do spirit here in Oklahoma. And I think whether you're looking at electricity or how we fuel our vehicles or all these different components of, you know, and I'm sure you've heard Mark Stansberry say it a lot, I mean, it takes energy to move everything.
Right.
And so I still think it really, it's for us to try to be thoughtful, make wise decisions, because a lot of times when you see, whether it's at the legislature, and I can even say, you know, as a regulator, it's easy to be incredibly short-sighted. It's harder to look out a little bit ahead, to be in the present moment, and think about the decisions you make and how they're going to affect others. You know, the securitization was one of those things for me. I mean, if people think I'm still not agonizing about it, they don't really know me very well, because I feel like I did the best that I knew in the circumstances with what was available. And I think it's what most people are able to afford. I mean, some of us can afford to pay more, but the vast majority of Oklahomans, it's just hard to make it with a paycheck. I heard a podcast this morning that talked about back in the 70s, you could work one job and have the picket fence and send your kids to college and be able to afford groceries.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about two and three jobs, massive student loans, healthcare expenses. It's a really different world. I thought that podcast really helped me put that a little bit more into context. And I think you can say that just across, you know, so many other parameters. I mean, the challenge is trying to do the best you can with the best information that you have to make the best and wisest choices in trying to look ahead. And that's really just an ongoing challenge in this job. And I think it's for the governor, legislators. I mean, it's really on all the leaders across the state and really across the nation.
Well, you know, I think that the average everyday person looks at that situation on you know, the recovery of the storm cost, you know, is what we're talking about here. We're visiting with Dana Murphy, chairwoman of the Oklahoma Corporation Commission. I think from the people I talk to, I think they have this situation to where they have it in their mind that these utility companies, you know, are basically fat cats. Basically, you know, they're paying their CEOs, you know, millions of dollars and those kind of things. And now it just feels like to the average everyday person that they're hammering out that, okay, we ran into an unexpected expense. Well, you know, at my house, if my hot water heater goes out, I have to assume that. I mean, I have to say, okay, guess what? My hot water heater went out. I got to fix that. And I think that's kind of the general consensus with the public right now, is that they were just thinking that, you know, why should everybody have to share in that cost, I guess. And now I love the fact that the securitization allowed it to be more affordable, because you know, the American people live check to check. You know, how much is my monthly payment? That's what people look at when they look at a car. That's what makes you know, these the credit cards so familiar to people, because they can pay a little bit each month. And so I think that's probably one of the things that people are looking at.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, that if you got to replace that hot water heater and the parts cost more, you got to pay for it.
Sure.
That's what the issue is with the securitization cost. If I go to the store and buy bread and the price of wheat is up, and that means my loaf of bread costs more that I got to feed my family, I mean, who do I think should pay for it? I mean, I'm going to be paying for it. It's the same way out at our farm and ranch. Barbed wire costs more. A lot of the stuff we're using at our farm and ranch, it's not what we anticipated. It's not what we expected, but it's we have to pay for it. So if your fuel goes up that you have to put in your vehicle, it's not you're looking to the company to pay for that. It's you're using the service, and so it's up to you to pay for it. I think that's the part that's probably the disconnect is missing, is when the price of a commodity goes up that affects a finished product, such as electricity or bread or whatever it is, the customer is the one that pays for that. That's just kind of almost a fundamental principle of business. I mean, it's like you said, you can think of it, you know, really like a kind of a credit card type situation. I think the challenge for us as regulators, and, you know, I've had five meetings. I've had six, if you count the ones that have occurred with producers and electric providers that was outside the commission, is to continue to focus on what are the utilities doing about this to plan and prepare ahead, because we're going to have probably here in the metro some additional cold weather. I know it's going to be cold out in western Oklahoma and maybe not the same amount of moisture. But what are we doing to try to ensure this doesn't happen again, whether it's looking at hedging or gas storage? And I think we have to, as regulators, we have to continually, you know, be on top of this. I'm really hopeful when I'm not here at the commission anymore that there's some other commissioners who are going to post these meetings, because every meeting we have, and it's not hooting my own horn, it's just we have so many things going on, and you really have to be deliberate about all of these things. So I think it's going to be, we'll be having additional meetings with the utilities coming in, because all of them need to be able to do better, and I think it's our responsibility as regulators to really ensure that they do and really look over what they're doing. And I take that very seriously. I think, we'll have additional meetings. We're very fortunate that the last cold weather we had didn't result in that, but I think everybody's learned some hard lessons, and I've learned things myself, and hopefully we'll just be better prepared, you know, for the next time.
I agree with that, because you want to be proactive, not reactive. What is the old saying? Pay me now or pay me later. You know, so
it's really about as regulators, or really as people, how are we going to be responsive? How are we going to respond to whatever these different things are? I mean, even in my family farm and ranch, I mean, I talked to my brother. I said, I don't know what's going to happen with Russia and Ukraine, but we ought to probably go ahead and just top off our diesel tank. Maybe it'll still cost us a little more, but I'd rather have the tank topped off than wait till it's empty.
Yeah.
And then who knows what it's going to be? Because we've already seen with COVID supply chain issues, and I think the American public is not really aware of how many goods we buy from foreign countries that get their energy supplied by Russia.
Absolutely.
I don't think the American people are really thinking about that. I think if these things continue to escalate, and I hope they won't. I hope it won't be like I've heard so many things it could be. I still remember something that my dad always said, you know, plan for the worst, but hope for the best.
Yep.
I mean, I remember at the farm and ranch, or even in the oil field, he would always say that, and I thought, gosh, I'm so worn out with that saying. You know, when you're a kid, what does that mean? And now it's just like, wow, what wise words.
Yeah. I guarantee it is. Dana Murphy, ladies and gentlemen, what's the best way for people to find out what's going on at the Corporation Commission, or contact you if they so desire?
Right. You can always go to our website. We also have a Facebook page. We're on Twitter. It's amazing how accessible we are on social media, but our website is occeweb.com. All the phone numbers for the commissioners are up there, as well as emails. So it's just really easy to go there, make a phone call, send an email, or if you're a Facebook user or you use Twitter, that's another place that's really accessible to you as well. And then, you know, you can always, I still like, you know, the old-fashioned phone call.
Landline, yeah.
Yeah, I think the old-fashioned phone call, and when I'm able to meet with people in person, I want to do that. It's sometimes people want to call you about one of their cases, and it's like a judicial matter. You don't get to go meet with the judge before your case goes to a hearing.
Right.
And so I have to be, many people want to meet with me, that if I met with them, well, then I can't have to recuse myself from your case.
From bias, yes.
Utility matters are a little bit different. But that's why, you know, I'm always thoughtful and careful. There are people that complain, and I understand that. I'm just trying to do my best to do my job and to make sure I'm available to make decisions, and that I haven't put myself in a situation where I've talked to somebody, so now I can't listen to that case. And I don't want to do that. I think that's harmful to the public, and it's harmful to the individuals in the case.
And that phone number they can call is?
405-521-2267.
Dana, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and for your service to the state of Oklahoma. And if there's anything we can do for you here at the show, be sure and let us know. You have a blessed remainder of the day, and we've had that information for your website and that phone number on our Facebook page as well. Have a blessed day. Again, wonderful job. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks a bunch, Sean. I appreciate being on the show.
You bet. Have a good day. Dana Murphy, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with the mop-up segment of the Monday edition of the Exploring Energy Radio Show right after this.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean Wilson and Butch Black.
We are no longer taking 2 to 3 years to get teeth straightened. We have several cases that range anywhere from 3 to 8 months. Fast braces are amazing. It's a patented wire system with advanced brackets that help to move and rotate the teeth at the same time. They are very fast. Traditional braces go through a different series of wires. Fast braces is all one wire. We had a particular patient, and I mean, he was done in 3 months. Mom was ecstatic. My name is Jamie Cameron, and I am a dentist in Weatherford at 129 North Bradley, a block north of Brahms.
Also at Liberty Dental in Carnegie on Main Street, right next to the movie theater.
JamieCameronDDS.com. You can also visit us on our Facebook page, JamieCameronDDS, where we treat you like family and do life-changing dentistry.
This is it. The 2022 Ford family lineup is here at Cummins. That's Ford at Cummins Ford Lincoln in Weatherford. Best sales and service in Western Oklahoma. So don't wait another second. Check out the 2022 Ford family lineup. If you have ever in your entire life wanted to own one of the finest vehicles ever, then now is your chance. And it's a Ford. Cummins Ford Lincoln in Weatherford, just off I-40, or online at CumminsFordWeatherford.com. See dealer for details. Built Ford tough.
This is the sound of people learning.
One, two.
Gamers gaming. Patients consulting.
How's he doing?
A lot better.
Friends bonding. This is the sound of fast, reliable internet with speeds up to 1 gig and whole home Wi-Fi, so all your devices stay connected. This is the sound of Sparklight, a stronger connection. Up to 940 megabits per second download and 50 megabits per second upload speeds for gig service. Sparklight modem required for whole home Wi-Fi. Visit sparklight.com for details.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
Thanks for sticking around. 10,000 pounds of pressure on a pipe. Woo! It's extremely dangerous. So who's inspecting your flow iron? Whoever it is, they need to know what they're doing. They need to have the certifications. They need to be up to date. And their people need to be trained really well, have the right equipment. Dustin Nix at Safety Flow NDT, non-destructive testing, NDT. Safety Flow NDT has been doing this for 15 years. He's so confident you'll love the job they do that he's offering a big discount to first-time consumers. Well, that's Safety Flow NDT will inspect the first 50 pieces of pipe on the first job you order for free. That's a $1,500 to $2,000 savings. Call Dustin Nix at Safety Flow NDT, 580-383-0136. 580-383-0136. And DCP Services, they're fully insured. They have contract pumpers, roustabout services, including backhoes, tractors, forklifts, mowing, trenching. They even provide plant consultation. They rebuild Kimray valves and controls and Western Chemical pumps to like new. And they sell and repair Texam solar pumps, other solar pumps, their wireline division, braided and slick line capabilities. For pumping, roustabout, or wireline, call Jeff Davis, 580-660-0501. 580-660-0501. Or Butch Black, 580-303-1886. And since all the major supply stores have all but pulled out of this area, DCP has a full-service supply store for pipe, valves, and fittings geared toward pipeline, processing, and production. Located at 317 North Van Buren right here in Elk City, call Ernie Barker, 580-339-1773. 580-339-1773. Okay, get back at it here. Okay, well, in a weekend announcement out of the White House, our illustrious commander in chief, the Brandon administration said Saturday it would suspend any decisions about new oil and gas drilling amid an ongoing legal battle with 10 Republican states over how to calculate the cost of fossil fuel-driven climate change. The decision comes amid a recent court ruling over a government metric known as the social cost of carbon, which sets a dollar figure for the climate change-related damage associated with greenhouse gas emissions. That figure was $51 per ton of carbon dioxide emitted under President Barack Obama, but slashed to just $7 per ton under President Donald Trump. Current President Brandon reinstated the $51 metric when he took office and said the administration would update it further as climate change continues. The figure, as the New York Times notes, is used to guide government decisions on pollution-linked industries, and a higher dollar value in the future could make it harder for new oil and gas projects to move forward. Scientists have long said that fossil fuel emissions need to be drastically reduced as soon as possible to limit the negative effect of climate change, which already costs the U.S. economy billions of dollars. A coalition of 10 GOP attorney generals sued the Brandon administration after it reverted to the original figure, however saying the metric unduly targets energy-producing states. A Trump-appointed judge agreed earlier this month, blocking the White House from using the higher cost estimate while saying the $51 figure would artificially increase the cost estimates of lease sales. Environmental advocates blasted the ruling as basically a defanging of the nation's climate policies, and the Department of Justice said it would appeal the decision while it indefinitely paused the rollout of the new oil and gas permits. From President Richard Milhouse Nixon on, every president has imposed some internal executive branch requirement for federal agencies to assist the costs and benefits of major government action, the DOC said in the court filing this weekend. Oh, brother, brother, sister, mother. Anyway, just to make sure that Drew knows, we do still talk a little bit about politics on this show. All right, let me give you the 7-day forecast. Increasing clouds with high around 76 today. South-southwest wind 11 to 16, increasing to 17 to 22 this afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 34. Tonight, mostly cloudy during the evening. Well, then gradually clearing with a low around 27. South-southwest wind 17 to 22 miles per hour, becoming south-southwest after midnight. Winds could gust as high as 34. Tomorrow, sunny with a steady temperature around 36 degrees. North wind 15 to 22 with gusts as high as 33. That's going to put the wind chill down there. Most clear tomorrow night, most clear with a low around 11. Wind chill values as low as minus 5. North-northwest wind 17 to 20 miles an hour with gusts as high as 30. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 24. North-northeast winds 14 to 20 miles an hour with gusts as high as 30. And then Wednesday night, a 50% chance of snow after midnight, mostly cloudy with low around 15. 30% chance of snow on Thursday before noon, mostly cloudy with a higher near 27. Friday's supposed to get back up to near 33. Friday night around 15. Saturday up to around 41. Sunday with a high near 56. That's what's going on with your weather this week. Again, Butch Black is scheduled to be back on the show tomorrow, which will be a wonderful thing. Some of your closing commodity prices, WTI crude, not closing for the market, but closing for today's show. 91.81 up 74 cents. Brent crude oil on the ICE Futures Exchange up 94 cents to $94.48 a barrel. Crude oil in Japan up 10 yen per kiloliter. And NYMEX natural gas up 33 cents, $4.76 per million BTU. Thank you so much to Dana Murphy. We'll be back again tomorrow morning right here on 96.5 KECO for all of our great sponsors. I'm Sean Wilson. Thanks so much for listening. I promise we'll talk again. Tune to 96.5 KECO in Elk City. Have yourself a great day.